Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. Let's go right to the phones because we wouldn't begin to really start our day without the true introduction into the next 2 hours.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's April the 15th at 7:05. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. And hey, we're joined today by Bad Bob. Bad Bob, say hello.
Good morning, sir.
And how are you today, Bad Bob?
Fair to partly cloudy, just like the weather.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm sure you'll get better because, you know, there's other things going on that will just overshadow everything today. And how are you? And, of course, I'm always joined by the ray of sunshine, even on a cloudy, rainy day, Linda.
Oh, is this is wonderful, but this is truly how the week has been going. And, of course, Carl is not here today. Be safe, whatever you're doing, my love.
And well, a lot of people would say I'm never there, but never quite there. But I'm sure you want to talk about what happened yesterday up at that great event, that great, you know, show and shine up at Anselmo Vineyards. I can't, you know what, it was, the first year was great, and this year was even better.
And definitely. But first, before anything else, is like a good neighbor, Jeff Avery is here. And he is going to be co-hosting with me all day. You cannot believe the guests that are going to be rolling through here. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Carl. Little ladder.
Good morning. And, you know, before I sign off, just let me, do you mind if I give the award winners from yesterday?
No, please do.
Okay. They had three awards up at Anselmo Vineyards for the cars, and they were beautiful, beautiful cars up there. There had to be like 70 cars. The person who traveled the furthest was a gent by the name of Vaughn Blassingame from Oregon. He traveled over 350 miles to enter into the show and shine. The Anselmo staff chose Bob Carroll and his car to be their choice, and then the people's choice was Robert Robinson. Every one of them, I don't even see how we could pick in between. Every car out there was so beautiful. I mean, I, you know, how could you pick the best of the best?
Well, I know you're mentioning their names, but once the people who came up that were the winners, it's like, okay, would you please tell us about your car? And then all of a sudden you saw they were shy, but once they started talking about the passion and the love and the years that they put into their automobiles, they started to gush. And the information just flew and just flowed just absolutely freely as they were like, and I did this in 1962, and then I painted it by myself, and then back in 86, I mean, it was just really spectacular. So, yes, it was really great. And today, of course, is the cruise. We'll be talking about that all day long. And we also have Howard Stubblefield that will be in this morning at 7:30. So, okay, Carl, whatever you're doing, thanks for calling.
You bet, hon. Love you, and have a great day.
All right, thanks. Okay, let's get you back on the microphone, Jeff.
Hey, I'm here.
All right, so how's that coming up, Bob? Good. All right, so we're going to talk about the weather again before we go anywhere. If you're just tuning in, it's 7:09 in the morning. We have showers today, but 63% of chance of going to be, it's actually 60% chance of showers with a high of 63, and tonight will be a low of 52. Now, we always know the cool April nights, come rain or come shine, is here. And it's a whole week. Why they plant it in April, I'll never know. But you know what? They do it, and people show up, and there's thousands of people that come from everywhere that will be there at the cruise tonight. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Have you ever been in the cruise, Jeff?
I've never personally been in the cruise, but my daughters went out with my brother-in-law a couple of years ago. He's got a nice 55 Chevy that he drives, so, yeah, they enjoyed it. I'm just not one of the privileged ones, apparently.
I have never been in the cruise. I've watched the cruise, you know. So today from Tobacco and Brew, you know, of course, we get ringside seats. Anybody can have those, by the way. You just got to show up and claim your space. But $6, you're going to get a hot dog and, you know, hang out with the Tobacco and Brew cuties. They're at Espresso Joe's. And get to see, you know, it's really fun to watch the cruise.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And you know, what's wonderful about it, you see kids that are, you know, still in strollers all up to, you know, old folks with walkers. They all want to see there. And it's just an amazing event. You know, that I think that event, they calculated, brings $750,000 to $1 million to our local economy.
That's what we love about this, and that's why we've been also embracing it. Because, you know, in our economy, whatever we can do in order to help our community flourish, we want to get behind it. And we know that you feel the same way because you're a business owner here in the great North State. We're going to be talking at 8 o'clock, as a matter of fact. Who are you bringing on at 8?
Well, at 8 o'clock, we've got three very special guests. First off, we have Dr. Richard Malotke. He's a family practice doctor here in town. He also writes an article about once every 2 weeks for the Record Searchlight on various topics. And then two other very special guests. First of all, Mark Korth, who is the president of Mercy Reading, is with us. He's been in town a little over a year and a half now. And then Randall Hempling, who is the CEO for Shasta Regional Medical Center, is going to be joining us. So we're going to be talking about healthcare issues and what's going on with the Obamacare bill, what's hit, what's coming up, what's good for consumers, and what's maybe not so good for consumers.
And this is a time, you chat packers, as we pull up the chat room this morning, get ready with your questions now. We'll start writing them down. You know, once we get going here, we're going to be flying in the 8 o'clock hour. Again, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Tonight, Chris Lauer will be performing out there from 6 to 9. You can go out there if you feel like you don't want to do the car stuff. There's still wonderful dinner and dining out there with the great music by Chris Lauer. My guest is Jeff Avery. Bob, good morning, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on KCNR 1460.
In here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and
your customers react to your direct mail with indifference, if at all? I'm Jennifer Haynes, Marketing Director with NorCal Presort. Direct mail has been and will continue to be an effective tool to drive sales, currently at $556 billion. There is a program to follow to get results in direct mail. 1. Decide who your absolute perfect customer is and talk just to that person. 2. Give everyone you mail to a reason to do business with you, now, instead of your competition. 3. Design your mail piece, keeping United States Postal Service requirements in the mix. 4. Track your results. Talk to your customers as they respond and adjust your campaign for the next crucial step. Then repeat. We all have busy lives and need to be reminded. A program is just that, a program, and it must be repeated to maintain or build recognition with your customers. NorCal Presort knows how to save you time and money with your direct mail. Come and see us at 835 Industrial or call 221-6895. NorCal Presort, your business mailroom.
Carl, you know it has just been announced that you are one of the dancers in Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style, July 9th, and you know what that means.
Yeah, it means I'm going to have to get in better shape, so I'm going to head on down to Adamson's Peak Performance. I'm going to step up our training plan so I can be ready.
Well, Adamson's is our choice for training and fitness advice.
Well, you know, the trainers down there put together specific plans for the individual and to achieve those goals that you want to reach.
Adamson's Peak Performance, on Bocelli next to Yax. Welcome back to KCNR. This is Free Fire Radio. Jeff Avery is sitting in today. I love this. Playing little Bee Gees. Woo! Great way to start this Friday morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Again, we're bringing that up on Hilltop Drive, where we're going to have the cruise today. At the break, and actually before we even started, we were talking about what is going on with American Idol, folks. What's happened with the texting? What are you doing?
You know, it's just amazing. You know, they finally admitted, you know, publicly right after the show that, you know, Pia Toscano gets booted, you know, last week, and how important it was for the public to vote. But, you know, we're just talking what happened with her afterwards, Linda.
Well, share with me, because I didn't hear that before, Jeff. I love you got the inside scoop there.
Yeah, well, you know, what's great is that right after she got booted, the next day, you know, the big producer they got there, Jimmy, he signs her, contacts 10 of his best songwriters that, you know, he's got contacts with, and says, hey, I want your best stuff right now. We need it. We're going to get an album out for this young lady. We're going to strike where the iron's hot. So you talk about a silver lining in something. I mean, she's going to be out there before anybody else probably and have an album getting ready, and She makes the tour with the top 10, yet free publicity. How great is that?
Yeah, what happened with the rocker, Chris, the band named after the same? There was a guy that
had... Daughtry?
Chris Daughtry. It was kind of the same thing early on. I mean, that guy is amazing. I love his music. And so here's... I was telling Carl, I said, she's the classiest act that has graced that stage in forever. Now, the judges were really correct in the fact that you've got to find your style. I mean, she has chops that go on for days. She's fresh-looking. She's hot-looking. But there was that, okay, now who are you? I mean, we had the Idol show here not too long ago at the Cascade Theater, and it was finalists in season 6, 7, and 8. And a lot of people felt the same way. They were $50 tickets, $40 tickets, and it was like, okay, would I stand in line to see you in concert? So that's what she has to conquer. No doubt she's going to have a killer album.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think part of it's not just them finding themselves and, you know, the little genre they're going to fit into. But the other thing is, hey, this is still a public vote, you know, probably one of the best democratic things going on. And I think it reminds us all that whether it's American Idol or local elections, if you don't get involved, don't complain about what happens afterwards.
That's a good segue. You have something there about, what do you got there?
Well, you know, as everybody knows, we're going through all the redistricting here in California, and Kathy Darling, our local county clerk, made the announcement that the local redistricting efforts are underway here for Shasta County. And basically what that boils down to is they're taking the 5 supervisor districts and redrawing those. So they made the announcement of who's in that, you know, the local nonpartisan folks, and getting those redrawn. And, again, they're going to be representing us in county government here for the next decade on those districts.
Do we have anything to say at all about how something is redistrict? What is it called? Rezoned?
It's called redistricting. Yes, we do. They asked for public input, and this is not only happening at the county level, it's happening statewide for assembly districts, state senate districts, congressional districts, even the Board of Equalization districts, everything, mosquito districts, all this stuff, and it's very important. And this is what comes out of the census, but they do ask for public feedback once the proposed maps are released.
Okay, so let's just talk about the fact that here's a proposed map, not in front of me, but say there is a proposed map. How can we make a change once that map, you know, a lot of times you feel like something happens, and because it's already in print, it's too late.
You know, and that it's not really true, obviously, in this case, because what they do is they look at, are we dividing this up so it's a contiguous type thing? And is everybody getting represented? And that's the hard part. There will be legal challenges statewide on some of these issues, but it is important. Right now, one of the things they're talking about is that our congressional district might actually be like the original State of Jefferson proposal. And that includes the coastal counties for us. Well, you know, our congressional district right now kind of goes, you know, along the eastern part of the state, you know, from the north to south, and we include Chico, Butte County, all that. Well, they're talking about redrawing it so we don't have Butte County. Is one of the proposals. There's a lot of things they're considering. And we take in the coastal ranges. You know, a lot of discussion saying, hey, we don't really have a lot of interaction with them. We're more of an I-5, you know, 99 corridor. That's how we interact. So this is where they ask for that feedback from us as the public.
Are you going to be involved in that at all?
No, thank God. You know, we love talking about politics, but you know, keep me out of the meetings.
We are taking your chats. And before we take a break, a couple things that I'd like to acknowledge that came in. Yes, Senior Idol is May 27th. I believe the auditions are still going on. I was not part of the auditions this year. The last couple times I've been there, I've been asked to judge. I will give you pretty much the information that comes to me. I put a word out this morning, like, tell me exactly what's going on so I can share it on the news. Jim Bremer, love his heart, good man. He's been an integral part of our family. Yes, he is leaving, and he's got a wonderful position. So he's still going to be in the area, but we're sorry to have he won't be part of the KCNR. So don't let any rumors
rumors fly around that's negative, because it ain't happening here. And, you know, we love our family here at KCNR, and we know that there's going to be some fabulous changes coming up in the future. You don't want to miss some of the things that we're going to be launching. You guys are part of it. I got to take a break here. This is KCNR 1460. Good morning, Reading. This is KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio. But Carl's on assignment, and so sitting in for Carl this morning. It's the first time I've done this, but I couldn't be in better hands. Jeff Avery.
Hey, good morning, people. How are you doing out there?
Well, I'm sure everybody's doing great. The chat room is open. We're going to talk a little to give you some history flashbacks. Then we have Howard Stubblefield, who's out in the lobby, who's going to be coming on in a little bit. And 8 o'clock, put in those drum rolls, because talk about some heavyweights being in the house.
Yes, we're going to have Dr. Richard Malotke, Randall Hempling, CEO of SRMC Hospital, and Mark Korth, he was the president of Mercy Hospital here in Reading. So we're going to have some good discussions about health care, which I thought was appropriate, because I figured that if I did anything bad here with the show, that, you know, Colonel Carl probably wasn't going to treat me real well, and I might need that help there.
Oh, Colonel Carl, that's so funny. Well, you've got a couple things that happened in history. Before we get into the whammy at the end here, let's talk about some stuff that was really important that happened this day in history.
Well, first up, you know, everybody remembers the Titanic, and this is the day it sank, the unsinkable ship. So, you know, April 15th, forget the beware the Ides of March. I guess it's beware the Ides of April, huh? The other things, Abraham Lincoln died at 7:22 a.m. this day in history, 1865. 1947, Jackie Robinson played his first Major League Baseball game for the Brooklyn Dodgers. You know, you Giants fans probably don't like the Dodgers much, but you got to give them credit. You know, the first African-American player in the league. Let's give them their props. Here's something really helped out America's health. 1955, McDonald's opened its first chain. Ray Kroc, I love him. Helped the girth of America.
The girth of America. I love. Hey, let's not forget, speaking of girth, that in 1923, insulin became available for general use for the first time. It was discovered in 1922, so.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. You know, and for some of you movie fans, 1971, George C. Scott refused the Oscar for his best actor performance in Patton at the 43rd Annual Academy Awards Ceremony at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in L.A. He had previously told reporters he did not want the honor, saying, after the votes had been cast and tallied, it is degrading to have actors in competition with each other. Hey, you got to give him credit for standing up for his, you know, beliefs.
And that was one, that is probably on my top 10 favorite movies. I could see it over and over and over again. The music in it is just amazing. When he has his flashbacks and, you know, he believes in reincarnation, there, it's pretty incredible. And, of course, we're doing a radio show here, and we've got the American flag behind us, so we totally get that.
It's all good. It's all good. Now, how about some of the songs that came out this day in history, Linda?
Okay, let's talk about those.
Well, you know, first of all, 1977, the Dancing Queen for ABBA. I mean, we're talking about, you know, one of those disco favorites, you know, a little bit before our time, right, Linda?
And you danced with the stars not too long ago, too. The Shasta County style, you did a spectacular job.
Well, I had a great dance partner in Julie Correa. She's a junior this year, actually, at UC Santa Barbara. And when you have a great coach, everybody looks good.
I love her parents as well. But just a little sideline, I want to ask you, because, you know, Carl's dancing this year, and I keep saying, you have no idea. I've judged it every year, so I get to be in the audience, and I'm excited about that. You have no idea what this is like. So tell me, tell us quickly, tell our listeners, what was that like for you?
You know, it's an amazing experience. I've spoken in front of groups as large as 5,000, but I tell you, when you step out on the stage and doing something that is totally out of your comfort zone, it's both nerve-wracking and an exhilarating experience. So I know Carl's going to have a good time, and he's even got a great coach at home to help him out. So I think that's his secret advantage.
Well, I think Kathy Babcock is, I'm going to leave everything. She's spectacular, and she can have what do you want to call it?
Honor?
Yes.
we'll go with that.
So Dancing Queen, what else do we have? Aquarius, 1969, Let the Sunshine In from the Fifth Dimension. I mean, some of these songs, You Made Me So Very Happy, Blood, Sweat, and Tears in 1969.
You know, 1985, We Are the World, you know, one of the first songs that really helped for fundraising to, you know, help, you know, Africa, subcontinent of India. everything. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful thing the USA does for the rest of the world.
Well, before we go to break, again, my guest is Jeff Avery, and we've got Howard Stufflebeam coming in after this. But let's talk a little bit about, can you believe that it was the unsinkable luxury line? We talked about that starting off. But it sank at 2:27 a.m. On this day in 1912. That was the largest passenger vessel in the world. It went under the coast, off the coast of Newfoundland 2.5 hours after sinking an iceberg on its maiden voyage from Southampton, England. We just want to always pay homage to all of those passengers. There were 1,517 lives lost at sea. So before we take our break, not to be down on this beautiful Friday, but this is a great song and we will always remember. Radio here on KCNR 1460. My guest is Jeff Avery. This is Linda Bott. Jeff is sitting in for Carl. We're going to be talking Cool April Nights, and at 8 o'clock we have all of the head honchos that run some of the biggest hospitals and Dr. Malotki. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back after these messages. KCNR 1460. 60 on your dial. This is Carl and Linda Bott, but Carl is out on assignment today, and with me is Jeff Avery. Welcome back to the program, Jeff.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, of course, we have to mention our sponsors. I've never done this one before because I don't go to Cypress Square Barbershop.
You're missing a good experience, Linda.
I've been there before, but I actually put my toe in the door and said, can I come in? And they were like, come on in. You know, they do have animal heads, and not that that's a problem for me because I like to go to Grand Zella's, too. But it's just that it's such a guy. It's a guy cave.
You know what? Everybody has to go somewhere if they're their pedicure, so guys go there.
All right. So anyway, hats off to Cypress Square Barbershop for being a sponsor here on Free Fire Radio. That's the first time I've done that. So, Jeff, we have a special guest who is with us this morning. And, of course, we're talking everything. It's the Friday we've been on every day talking about Cool April Nights. Welcome to the program, Howard Stubblefield.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Okay, at the break, Jeff, before we even went on, we were talking about some good, juicy stuff. Let's just continue on and share with our listeners. You know, we can rah-rah-ree on the corner and say, oh, my God, they're phenomenal cars. But shall we go to, you know what, I forgot something. Before we go there, we've got a caller with Gary talking about what's going on. So we'll come right back to that thought. Good morning, Gary. I'm sorry, I forgot about you for a minute.
I was about ready to give you a shout out. Good morning, everybody.
Oh.
I'd like to give the Third Annual Sundial Freedom Festival, a plug that will be at the Sundial Bridge Monday, and the flag procession starts at 5 o'clock, and that's up on Hilltop, right across from Sears, and the procession will wind its way down the new trail along 44 over the river and then over to the Sundial Bridge if one wants to have a little walk before the festivities, and then join the festivities at approximately 5:30. George Washington and crew will cross the Potomac / Sacramento River, and Paul Revere and Steed will be there, and yours truly is Patrick Henry, and there will be others in costume, and everybody will have a good time like we've done before to appreciate our Constitution, think about this great country that is America, and what we have become, what we need to do to keep us free and on the liberties track.
Well,
so again, it's 5 o'clock, at, the procession starts at Hilltop, bring a flag, join the flag wearers, and go for a nice walk for about a half hour, and if not, then join us at the Sundial Bridge at 5:30, and there will be games for the kids and all sorts of patriotic events.
All right, Gary, thank you so much for the information. We really appreciate it. Thanks for calling in here on KCNR this morning.
You're welcome.
All
bye.
Right. Okay, I'm going to throw it to Jeff Avery because before we took the phone call, and we're going to just do a quick little tease, and then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get into some good, juicy stuff of Cool April Nights.
Yeah, we have Howard Stubblefield here today, and he is one of the 10 that helped to organize and run Cool April Nights. We're going to talk a little bit about the economic impact, all the people that help out, and some of the unsung heroes of that event. So, Howard, welcome.
And thank you.
We're looking forward to talking to you here in just a few minutes.
Real good.
We'll be right back. This is KCNR 1460. Well, our microphones are on. I don't know what you heard, but nothing negative. So good stuff. Linda Bott back here on KCNR 1460, and the chat room is open, you guys, so if you've got questions coming up, feel free to just shoot it out there, because we're reading what you're talking about. By the way, Carl's on assignment, and Jeff Avery is sitting in this morning. Welcome back to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you for having me again, and we got to give props to Bob here. He's sure making us look good, aren't you, today, isn't he?
I mean, he does.
Gary Newman Cars, a great lead-in to Cool April Nights. We've got Howard Stubblefield, Howie to his friends, Grandpa Howie to as of a year and a half ago. Is that correct?
And Stubb to the ones that can't say Howie. You know,
that's all good.
Grandpa Howie,
yeah.
Love it.
Well, Howard, you're one of a very small group of volunteers that really puts on Cool April Nights every year. Big economic stimulus. Huge event here in Reading. So why don't you tell us a little about the group that you're heading up and talking about today?
Okay. You know, I think one of the things that I would like people to understand is we think of Cool April Nights as a car show, but our board views it as probably the most successful economic stimulus plan this community has. And if you think about that as being run by a group of 10 volunteers, it isn't a city council, it isn't a whole big building full of people. It's just volunteers that love this community, love the life up here, and thank God every morning when they wake up in a place called Reading. And we're all blessed. We're all very lucky. But this program brings people up here. I've seen people that will come up here and fall in love with Reading and move a business up here. We all know that 10 million, 77 million war babies are going to retire. How many of them have come up here to do something in our backyard that are going to move up here and live here?
That's exactly it. Why don't you talk? You talk about individuals moving their business up here. Why don't you talk about every year? What kind of money does this bring into our local economy, Howard?
Well, everybody has their number, and but I understand that it's been fairly well documented that it's somewhere between $700,000 and $1 million. And understand that comes in about 3 days, and it comes in from hotel at motels, restaurants, gas stations, and it's an economic ripple because then that keeps rolling over and over and over. What I always say is they come up here, they empty their pockets, and then they go home, and we keep the money.
How wonderful is that? And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, I moved up here 10.5 years ago. Attended 2001 was my first Cool April Nights celebration, and it was the cruise,
yep.
You know? And I think that was probably one of the colder ones on record. People with tents, we talked about that earlier today. You know, so it's kind of expected we're going to get a little rain here and there, yet you keep getting people up here. Why do you think that is?
When we moved the cruise to Hilltop, the promise was this would become the country's biggest tailgate party, and believe me, it has become that. And I think it's
woohoo!
and we're not going to get rain. We're going to get a drizzle. It's not going to hold anything back. In fact, if anything, you have to stand back because the water hits the wax on those cars and it flies off like bullets,
little projectile.
That's right.
It's a state of mind.
It is.
You know, when you think about all the great things we have in the North State, and it's just amazing you did that. And you moved it to Hilltop, Howard. What group do you think is most important once you made that move to Hilltop? You know, what groups are there to help you out and make this such a great cruise night?
Well, the unsung heroes behind all of this are the Reading Police Department, and particularly the motor group there. And I get a lot of credit I don't deserve for the cruise because, quite candidly, they run the cruise. And when you talk to car people, there are many other cruises in this country that aren't well run. and the police don't have a strong presence, and people don't like going to them anymore. They don't feel their cars are safe, and they're jammed up. We have controlled the number of cars, but all of the planning, all of the coordination with the city group and the streets group and the highway patrol, that is all done by the Reading Police Department, and they are my partners, and it could not take place without their excellence. They're just super to work with.
No, Howard, that's so true. And yeah, I mean, I moved up here, like I said, just a little over a decade ago, and I brought my family here to raise a business here because of everything that's so great in this community, and the Reading Police Department is critical about that. You know, I like the joke that the folks that grew up locally said, hey, the only time you're going to see graffiti in the city of Reading, you have to go down the railroad tracks and look at the railroad cars.
Absolutely. And then get out of the way because they're going to start painting it over right away.
That's exactly it.
I have a question, Howard. Share with our listeners your baby, meaning your car.
Well, this is how I kind of got into the whole thing. We have a 1940 Ford two-door sedan, but like so many street rods, it's a Ford with a Chevy engine in it, but everybody hears about that. The 350 seems to be the standard unit. But we got into that, and I had bought a Harley, and my wife said, now just how are the kids going to ride on this with us? I mean, how are we going to do this as a family event? And one of my friends who was into street riding said, you know, Howard, you might just get a street rod, and, you know, that'll work for your family. And that's how we got launched into it. And it's been so much fun, so much fun.
So do you tinker?
I don't. I've been just too busy. But I'll be retiring in about a month and a half, and then I'm going to have nothing but time. I'm kind of a wax and shine, and I've got a real good mechanic, Ken Vossen, who wrenches it and keeps it running like a baby, and we're happy with that right now.
And are you going to be in the cruise tonight, Howard?
I won't be because I'll be directing the cruise, so I'll be out there in the middle of it.
That's great. That's great.
Well, before we go to break, let's hear the number of cars that are registered to be in the cruise tonight. Is it just open, or do you have
oh,
to...
Oh, no. And that's one reason why this cruise flows well. We only allow cars into the cruise that are registered for the show. And that keeps it what people come up there to expect. They want to see beautiful show cars. They don't want to see new cars. They don't want to see things that aren't fit for the show. And so it's really a rolling display of what's going to be on display, static on Saturday, but it's rolling on Friday night.
Cool. I like the visual of that. Rolls on Friday, stationary on Saturday, and that's why you see the gazillion people going over the bridge, because they want to see all those cars up close that just zoom by them on Friday night.
Absolutely, and they want to hear what they sound like.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to KCNR. This is Free Fire Radio. Okay, everybody join in.
Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down.
Oh, I love it. You know, because that's what this whole weekend is about. It's a giant tailgate party, is it not?
It is. It's the world's best, and it's the biggest one in the state of California. It is a hoot.
So when's everything start up today for the whole Cool April Night celebration?
Well, right now, people should, if they want to and they can't get down there on Saturday, they should drop down to the convention center. There's cars there. There's vendors down there. There's stuff going on all afternoon. They can peek inside the convention center and see some of the really high-dollar cars that are the special inside show. But the other thing that people ought to do is get up to Hilltop. Don't wait till 6:30. You won't even be able to get in there after 6 o'clock because it's blocked off. But the tailgate party starts hours earlier. And
yeah, it's like going to the Super Bowl. You don't show up at 1 o'clock for Super Bowl and the game starts at 1:05, right?
Heck no, they show up days earlier. And if you doubt me, just go up to Hilltop right now and see how many chairs are scattered on every single inch of sidewalk. It's already started.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about, Tobacco and Brew. In fact, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Inside of Tobacco and Brew is Espresso Joe's. But today, a free parking in the back.
Hey.
Yes, and $6 hot dogs, and you need to go stake your position. You mentioned something at the break, Howard, that was really very exciting about what's happening with the corral on Sunday.
I Terry and I ended up with our street rod because we went to a car show down in the Bay Area and just fell in love with the car, and it happened to be for sale. Roll out the cash and drive it home. And I think a lot of people that are interested, well, how do you get a street rod? I mean, you don't go down to the dealership. They're not lined up. But on Sunday, we have what's called the Car Corral, and there will be 100-plus different street rods that people want to sell, and move on to a new project. And it's just the most fantastic thing. And it doesn't even cost to get down there on Sunday. You can walk right in and check out the cars, and the owner will be there. And if you want to buy one, you'll drive it off.
Ugh.
How sweet is that?
Well, I'm really excited, but I'm kind of like, you know, I'm thinking Camaro or I'm thinking Corvette.
They'll be there.
You can't you just see Carl wincing, Bob? At, you know, they're into the computer. He's like, oh, my goodness, this lady's going to break us this weekend. That's awesome.
Yeah. I have 170,000 miles on my car. But, you know, I've been really happy with my car. It's not that. This is what we're talking about. I'm sure when you do this, it's almost like a Harley, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's a way to really enjoy bringing the family together, to going to events, to showing your car, to the show and shines. I mean, yesterday in Anselmo Vineyards, it was so cool to see the people. They were there all day long. They were so excited. Well, we got about 5 minutes left before we take the break, and we have the whole insurance thing that we're going to yet. So while we're in this thought. What else do you have to bring to the table today, Howard?
Well, there's a bunch of show and shines at the different high schools, and the schedule's been in the paper. And I think that people can find something to do all day long anywhere they want to go. They're going to find cars, and it's just the spirit of the whole thing. You were talking about how it's almost like a culture. Street people and car people are never alone. No matter where you go, you have something in common, and the friendships begin.
Yeah, and you know what's great? Even though I insure cars, everything else, I'm not a gearhead. And, you know, motor. You know, I like what you said, Howie. You're a show and shine guy, and you've got a wrencher for you.
A wrencher.
You know, and that's
my wrencher.
That's how I'd be. You know, you're talking about the Ford you own. Linda's the Chevy person. You know, I saw Kaiser for the first time on Tuesday at Kubler Show and Shine. You know, they start at noon. And how wonderful is that we can all get in and you know, find out that, hey, we have a passion for this, or find out that, hey, we have a long-lost love we never knew we had.
Well, and that's where the Car Corral fits in, because if you don't want to build one of these things, and that can be a 5 or 6 year project, you can go down there and buy one that someone else has already built for you. So
yeah, and that's just what's great. And it's the show and shines to start off at the high school. Actually, I think 8:30 at Foothill, 9 o'clock at Enterprise in Shasta High.
Yeah, and the kids are just fully behind this. It's a great way to get them introduced to the whole spirit of street riding.
Let's just give a shout out to the people who are on the board. We've got Doug Carney.
And he's our new president. He's just fabulous.
And we've got, of course, Howard Stubblefield, who's here with that's in charge of cruising and parking of this particular year. Chuck Creason.
And Chuck's our vice president. He's just retired from his business, and he's doing a great job as a vice president.
And Lori, is it Tessier?
Yeah, Lori's been running our merchandising and shirts, and she just does such a great job of making it interesting every year and coming up with a new theme, a new color, and we couldn't be more happy about her.
And Barbara Harrison, of course.
Barbara joined us board. Everybody, if you live in Reading, you know Barbara Harrison, and she's just a fabulous addition to the board.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Women's Refuge, Make-A-Wish.
Absolutely.
There's nothing Barbara's not involved in.
You bet.
Barbara is, talk about boots on the ground. Okay, Del Dooley.
Del Dooley is the voice of Cool April Nights. He runs our info booth. He knows everything about the show. And if people are wandering around and want to know what's this, when's the next thing coming up, he's there and he's got the voice.
How about Linda Rivera?
Linda just joined our board. She came over from one of the other events, and she's our vendor coordinator, and she's just jumping in with both feet. I mean, she's off to a good start.
Very impressive. We had her on yesterday.
And how about Jim Pope? Does anybody know about him?
I don't know. He used to be in law enforcement, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't meet him that way.
I think Bob did. I think Bob knows him intimately. How about Deborah Lackey?
Deborah is our Raffle City, and that's just another great thing that people ought to know about. We are selling raffle tickets. There are unbelievable prizes up there. And that's on the inside show, and it's a hoot, too. It's a lot of fun.
And last but not least, we got Max Snyder. We're in charge of show parking.
And Max has been one of those unsung heroes. He's been in the background for years and has stepped up and is now running the show parking. He's the one that gets everything on the lawns and in the right place before the spectators show up on Saturday.
So we really wanted to do a shout-out to the board of directors because, like you said, there's how many people that actually run the biggest
tailgate
financially lucrative
event that happens this every year in Reading, and it takes a team. And again, it's not like it's city council or anything like that. It's a bunch of non-friends that get together and just do it for the passion.
And it's all volunteerism. I mean, that's what makes this such a great place to live.
And if I figure it out right, $1 million, 10 of you, you each are responsible for bringing $100K in, and then all the other volunteers that we talk about.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are hundreds of people that are volunteering behind us that are making this work.
Well, Howard Stubblefield, thank you so much. We'll see you out there today. And I don't know, maybe I can get Carl to come to the corral on Sunday. And who knows, maybe he'll be something parked out in front of the station. They'll say KCNR Corvette. We'll be right back. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading. And my guest is Jeff Avery. Welcome to KCNR 1460. Good morning. We're talking about a beautiful day today. And, if, of course, cool April nights. We have a high of 63, 60% chance of showers, but we don't care about that. Sprinkle on my face. We want to just fabulously enjoy all the hot rods that are out there. Tonight we have about a 30% chance of showers with low of 52. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Carl is on assignment. I'm really happy to be here today with my co-host, Jeff Avery. And I'm going to throw it to Jeff because Jeff has brought in three heavy hitters. I'm going to have to open the door because, yes, it is getting hot in here. Jeff.
Well, how's it going, everybody? We kind of have the good, the bad, and the ugly here today. I think Linda's the... you know, the good, we've got the bad in the insurance, and then the ugly on the health care issues. So today what we've got Dr. Richard Malachi, family practice physician here in town. We have Randall Himpling, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. And we also have Mark Korth, who is the president of Mercy Reading. So what we're going to do, we're going to quickly ask them about their backgrounds. Dr. Malachi, why don't you quickly tell us about your history?
Well, thanks, Jeff. I'll take that ugly moniker any day. I've been practicing solo family medicine in Reading for 25 years now, and got my degree from the University of Minnesota, and I really like my job.
That's great. And, and two children, great wife, who's a dentist here in town, I believe?
Yeah, I married up. I've got a really beautiful wife, probably the prettiest dentist in California, and my kids are out of the house. One's just finishing her first year of dental school, and then my son will graduate from med school in about 3 weeks.
Well, congratulations. Mark Korth, president of Mercy Reading. Why don't you tell us a little about your background and also the accolades that your institution's been receiving.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Mark Korth, I'm the president of Mercy Medical Center Reading. Mercy is a 266-bed hospital. I'm really proud of the hospital and proud to be part of the community here. Some of the things that we've been able to achieve at Mercy are incredible. We've been here since really 1944, following the mission that was established by sisters, providing health care, and really furthering the healing ministry. Some of the accomplishments at Mercy that we're proud of, we're Joint Commission accredited. That's a key piece for us. Blue Cross, Blue Shield have identified us as distinction centers for our care and cardiac care, as well as the care that we provide for hip and knee replacement. We've also been established and identified by the American Heart Association as a Gold Plus designation center for our stroke care. You know, these are all recognitions, and many hospitals go after them, but it's just a symbol of the health care that's provided in this community.
Yes, and we're very fortunate to have your hospital, as we are SRMC. Randall Himpling, CEO, SRMC. Randall, quickly, your history and the accolades your institution has been receiving.
Good morning, Jeff. The first accolade, I think, is that about 2.5 years ago, the hospital was completely upside down. And we have since then, with the help of a marvelous group of people that work at the hospital and obviously the physicians and the rest of the community, have kind of pretty well turned the hospital around. My background personally is I've been in healthcare about a little over 40 years, ran my first hospital in 1981. So this, I was really proud to have the opportunity to come here. Since 2009, the hospital, in terms of things that have been achieved, and not just bringing it back to viability, was we have received national chest pain designation, we've received our stroke certification, and we are one of only 29 hospitals in the United States to be certified in the care of diabetic patients.
That's amazing. As we talked earlier in the show, 1922, on this date, was when insulin was first made available for the general public. So that really ties in well with what you guys have accomplished.
Yeah, I think it does. It is a focus of the hospital primarily to be in service to adults. We do adult medicine, and since Mark is here, and I'll tell everybody up front that we coordinate, cooperate with Mercy at a lot of levels, one of which is non-duplication of many services, which saves the community a lot of effort and money.
That's what's wonderful, and that's why we appreciate. I actually sit on both boards here locally, and very, very proud to do that. We had a question, Mark, already. Are the Sisters of Mercy still involved, and at what level at the hospital?
Oh, absolutely. The sisters are involved. We have a sister that works directly with me. I see her every day. Their influence is felt in our culture. We have values. We have a mission, and it's talked about every day. That's part of what we do. That's part of what we're proud of, and it really defines the care and the services that we provide. When we think about the services that Mercy provides, we provide a really broad scope of services. Randall just mentioned that we work together, and we do really have some conversations, but you'll notice on the Mercy side we have a scope that really reaches out. We have a maternity center, a maternity clinic, we have a residency program, we have Shasta Senior Nutrition Program, which are really mission-driven services that ministry helps us identify.
Oh, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We are talking, we're going to get into the insurance part of what's happening with everything that's going on with government and insurance. And Jeff Avery is my co-host. This is Linda Vaught, KCNR 1460. The chat room is open. You can go to KCNR1460.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
1460, home of the Free Fire Media. This is Jeff Avery. We pretty much have just shoved Linda aside. We're not gentlemen here. The testosterone's running high, and Linda's trying to get a breath of fresh air, I think. Well, hey, we want to thank our guests again here. We've got Dr. Richard Malotke, Mark Korth, president of Mercy Medical, and his cohort in professionalism, Randall Hempling from SRMC. You know, healthcare, hot topic nowadays, everything from the quality of care we get, how it's paid, how it's administered, you know, us big bad insurance companies, but it's really no one thing that has led us to where we're at now. So Obamacare, the federal health care bill that's come up, has really started to, the impact has started to come up. I know on our side of the business, the biggest thing that's hit that we've seen is having to insure children up to the age of 26. Really a great change, you know, for kids who aren't going to be able to maybe get a job right out of college or, you know, been working since high school and they haven't been able to get the health insurance. But Dr. Malotke, we're going to throw you the first curveball and say, hey, what's the biggest change you've seen in the last 5 years, and what's the biggest impact you've seen that's going on with this, the start of this health care bill?
Well, I think I don't know if I can speak for all doctors, but most of us haven't read the entire 2,000-page bill. So I don't think I know what's in it. I've heard a lot about what might be in it or what might be implemented or how much it's going to be tweaked. And in the end, we can't really say. I think you are right that a lot of physicians are under the opinion that the healthcare delivery system is broken. And like you mentioned, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. For me, one of the main reasons for it is kind of removing the fee for service, or, you know, pay when you go see the doctor, and having a third party, you know, take care of all your bills for you. I think one of the fundamental questions that we're going to get asked or get answered in the next 5 years is, do we want government to be responsible for the whole thing or not? Right now, government's responsible for more than half of it, and in my opinion, that's a big reason why it's pretty screwed up.
Yeah, and like you said, there is an awful lot of reasons for this. Randall, you mentioned that you've been involved 40-plus years in the industry and running hospitals since 1981. I know a few of us were probably just swaddling babies at that point, so we're going to have to bow to your seniority. But what's some of the biggest changes you're seeing going on right now and the challenges that you're having to face right out of the get-go here?
Well, let me take it back just a little bit. I started out in healthcare in 1971 in health planning, health systems design, because it was determined in 1971 that the healthcare system was broken and needed to be fixed. And so this is a recycle. I mean, we go through this about every 15 to 20 years with a massive attempt to change. and it doesn't change. Primarily, a couple of reasons. One of them is that people believe that health care is a right, and therefore they should have unlimited access to a system that has certain capacity limits. The changes for us right now is a massive push for improved quality, which is a good thing. Also, a big push to guarantee access for everybody, which is both good and bad. It's good from a hospital standpoint because the people that come to the hospital will now have some form of payment, I mean, ostensibly under the new system. It's bad in that they will come to the hospital because they will have insurance as opposed to accessing primary care, and then that adds the double problem is we don't have enough primary care. So it's a big confluence of catch-22s within the existing plan to change, but all of it comes down to the fact that we have a large population with a really high demand and a limited resource called healthcare system. And it's we're trying to make those two pieces fit, and money becomes the key commodity.
You know, you brought up a key point there, Rich. Randall, about, you know, people coming to the hospital because they don't have access to primary care. And, you know, Mark, you talked about at Mercy, you've got the residency program right there for primary care family practice doctors. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. We have the residency. We have approximately seven residents each year, so we have about 20 residents right now over a three-year period. And they provide a significant amount of service to the community. Much of that is to the people who are coming in that are underinsured or maybe have no insurance at all. So it's a significant piece to what we do. Back to your earlier question, a little bit on that change. I haven't been through the cycles. I was on the first end of that 15 years ago. But the cycle that I see happening and what I see happening over the past 5 years, I actually believe that there's some benefit to what we're doing because we're not on a sustainable track. Healthcare does have to change. If it hasn't been successful in the past, we around the table, the providers, the physicians, we've got to find a way to make it better. Right now in America, we're spending, I'm sure most of you have heard this stat, 16-18% of every dollar earned is going right back to healthcare. And while it's good for the community where we're at, and we have a lot of employees and providers, and it can be a growing industry, that's not sustainable. And that's compared to other places. And it goes back to some of the things we've heard here, where people view it as a right, people view it as something that they have access to, and we've got to figure out a way to make it more efficient. And that's where I see our opportunities is figuring out how to make it more efficiency, taking out some of the duplication that it can exist in healthcare, and really focusing on quality.
Hey, we're going to keep expanding on that thought process and about, you know, it's a right, access to it, everything else, but we're going to take a little break here, give everybody a chance to take a deep breath and be right there. Thank you for KCNR 1460 Radio, the home of Free Fire Radio. We're going to welcome you back here in a few minutes.
1460 here on Free Fire Radio. Carl is on assignment. I have Jeff Avery sitting in with me today. And, of course, we really have some great information that we're so lucky to have with us and some of the experts, leading experts in the area. A clarification about what's going on at Tobacco and Brew today when I said free parking. Well, free parking if you buy a ticket to have a hot dog. And, of course, let's get down to it. It is Cool April Nights Week. And also, I needed to ask a question, which was really kind of on the topic here, and I'll start with you, Randall. Where do you see our health care going in the next 5 years for our residents here in the North State?
Well, in terms of access, it's probably going to be a little more difficult because we're running into some shortages in primary care. In terms of the hospitals, I think the hospitals will literally be here and thrive. And the reason I say that is that we, both hospitals, serve a huge area, a huge geographic area. I think Mark said earlier it was like between 20 and 25% of the geographic area of the state of California served by our two hospitals here. So it's going to be here for everybody. I don't see a downturn, and I see probably some improvements in coordination and quality management.
Mark, you want to tag on with that and talk about, you know, there are two different models on these hospitals. One is a for-profit model with SRMC. Sisters of Mercy, a not-for-profit hospital, but you still need to make money. enough to stay in business, pay your employees, keep the shop open. So why don't you tag on to where you see it going here in the next 5 years?
Well, it's a little bit of a two-sided question there. How are we going to do as a hospital, and where's healthcare going to go? From the hospital perspective, you're right. We still have to maintain a margin in order to be able to provide that mission. That means that we're going to have to be watching our costs and making sure that we select the right service lines that meet the needs of the community, but also allow us to be able to provide all of the services that we do. One of the things that may be interesting for the group is just on the cost side of healthcare. I know there's concern out there that hospitals are very expensive and that there's a lot of stuff going on. One of the things with healthcare reform that we need to move towards, and one of the things as operators of facilities we have to watch, is the cost side. Our wages, our benefits are very solid, and something that we're going to have to watch and make sure that they're sustainable and they match what's appropriate for the North State. We see that happening over time. On the reform piece and what we see with healthcare, I think you'll see greater connectivity between the physicians and the hospitals. I think you'll see some collaboration working really to try to keep the community healthy. One of the aspects of reform that I think is really important is to focus on not getting people well after they're sick, but making sure that we spend resources up front keeping people healthy. I know you'll hear that from both hospitals, but it's something that we're all going to have to figure out. How do we do it? And how do we get the population, all of us, to make sure we're taking care of ourselves?
Right, that's a great point. And, you know, part of that is some self-education, but the other part goes to the man to your left, Dr. Malachi, one of the primary care physicians, family practice. Dr. Malachi, why don't you tell us the challenges you have seeing not only helping to keep them healthy, but their access to family practice physicians like yourself?
Well, I think in the next 5 years, because of the there's going to be a new influx of previously uninsured patients that are going to need primary care, I think the state of California is and many other states are going toward a broader view of providers, so that nurse practitioners will play a bigger role, and people that didn't spend 11 years going through, you know, 4 years of college, 4 years of med school, 3 years of residency. I think also that hospitals are starting to hire quite a few docs right out of residency. It's pretty expensive to, you know, pay all the fixed costs of running an office and paying employees and doing all those things that everybody in business is familiar with. But those sort of costs have kept going up, and reimbursement to the docs has kept going down. So that's discouraging quite a few people from doing my line of work.
Right, and that's there's so many cost drivers, so many opportunities. Hey, we are going to be taking some calls. We're coming up on a break pretty soon, but please call 605-4567. We do have a caller on the line. Line one is Christy. Christy.
Hi. I'm calling from Minnesota, and I don't really have anything meaningful to add, but I wanted to say I think you're right. What you're all saying, I completely agree with. I think it's going to be a challenge, and we have a lot of work ahead of us.
You're absolutely right. And calling from Minnesota, I think somebody's from there, right, Richard?
Well, yeah, I grew up there and went to school there.
The growing up, but not now. You're just getting older. You're not really growing up anymore.
Well, actually, I haven't. I should, you know, qualify that. I haven't really gotten close to growing up yet.
Hey, one of the things Mark talked about was that coordination of care. We're going to really hammer on that here after the break. But one of the things that we talked about is, you know, the HIPAA regulations meant to protect our privacy, yet it also made it hard to share information back and forth between primary care physicians, specialists, hospitals. And it sounds like in this case, we're trying to get a better coordinated effort going on. You know, I liken that to taking your car into the body shop, and you can imagine the guy who's fixing your front end is not talking to the guy who's fixing your rear end, nor is the guy who's working on the interior. They're not able to coordinate, and I think that's one of the best things that's going to be happening with that care. A lot of challenges ahead of us. So, Randall, just briefly, what are some of the changes you've seen already at your institution that's already helping to help with that communication effort?
Okay, well, the first thing that we've done is we spent a lot of money on tech when we first came in. We've added a whole new system of management of patients throughout called Meditech, and we've had that in for a little over a year, and that allows everyone to communicate across the board, including with the physicians' offices. And as I understand it, Mercy is going to go to the same system. Actually a higher grade than ours, but that will allow everybody in the community to talk.
That's great, and we're going to be coming back to that topic here in a minute. This is KCNR 1460. Again, phone number 605-4567. We want to hear from you here on the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Taking your comments on the chat room and also your calls. Do call in 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Don't call that 800 number. If you're looking for Dish, go to Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. Also, an announcement, the Benton Air Park from 9 to 12 on Saturday. It's the Young Eagles Flies flights. Kids fly free. This is a wonderful program for kids from 8 to 17. You, of course, have to bring a parent and a guardian or at Hillside Aviation at Benton Park between 8:30 a.m. and 10 o'clock a.m., weather permitting. So you may want to call 549-4275. If you're thinking about taking your kids up there tomorrow, call to see if, in fact, the weather's clear enough that they're able to take the flights up there. I am going to... my co-host today is Jeff Avery. And, boy, you've been doing a fabulous job. You brought in these, like, heavy hitters. We're getting down to some great information. But one of the things that we asked, we talked about before we took a break, and I kind of really need it from me in layman terms to be broken down. What is Meditech? Who wants to shoot first?
I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
Meditech's a vendor who provides the systems, the computer systems that will allow us to move from a paper chart and pulling everything together in a big old file that is housed at the hospital to putting that into a computer format. It's also the computerized documentation. It's basically a method where we're all going to be able to use the same core elements of the health record, and it facilitates exchanging information down the road.
And that's what's great. I think it shocks people, probably surprises them a little bit, Mark and Randall, that these two hospitals in the North State, they're really a symbiotic relationship. They're working together for the betterment of the health care for our residents, and that's just wonderful. We've got a caller coming in, Bill, on line one. Bill, how are you doing?
Doing good. You know, this is such a complex subject, and I have so many comments to say, but I'd like to throw a couple out there. The first one I would say is, if this health care plan that, you know, they term as Obamacare, and I would call it that because he's the one pushing it, I don't think it's even going to happen. It's unconstitutional. The government can't make you do anything. They can't make you do business with an insurance company.
You know, that's a good point, Bill. You know, here I represent a health insurance company. And I struggle with this. It's a tough deal. First of all, it is best if everybody has access to health care. It's important as a society, democratic society that cares about their people. I don't care what race, religion, sexual orientation. We are all deserving of that primary good health care coming in. And
I agree with you.
You know, and the one thing that Obamacare is trying to address is having that access. What's hard about it is, unlike requirements for auto insurance, you know, if you decide not to carry auto insurance, that's fine. You don't have to drive. You can catch a bus. You can walk to work. Actually, one of the healthier things we could do, you know, ride your bike and see your doctor. But it isn't like you can just leave your body and decide you don't need access to health care. So, but being forced to buy something, that's going to be a legal challenge. And really, that's a whole other topic, Bill, and we do appreciate that.
Well, I do have another comment.
Go ahead.
I think I'm going to stand back and look at the whole issue again. The problem with this whole healthcare situation that we have is solely created in our society. Because as long as there's profiteering off of health, this is the kind of stuff that's going to come up. And I've studied in depth through friends and through documentary films and some books about the English-based system, the National Healthcare Service. And it's just a bunch of lies that they feed us about that in the United States. And the problem is here is that doctors charge way too much. I mean, I'm an average wage earner. I'm not wealthy. I'm middle class. It shouldn't cost me $180 to go see a doctor for 5 minutes. And how do I know that his best interest is not making his yacht payment?
Okay, Bill, you know, you brought up a lot of topics, and we have other callers, but we're going to address real quickly. Yeah, you can sense the frustration in Bill's voice, everybody here, and it is hard for them that they do want to deliver the best of health care, but at the same time, there are challenges. Dr. Malachi, he mentioned about, you know, how do they know you have their best interests in mind? I know for a fact you don't have a yacht, but, you know, you do have a boat on the river, and that's how you unwind. But why don't you address the challenges you have as a sole practitioner and some of the points he brought up?
Well, I have a boat on the river because I married a dentist. But, yeah, I wish I could get $180 for 5 minutes. I'd be doing pretty good. I think there are definitely cases, obviously, of doctors overcharging. I think if you look at the overall healthcare dollar, the pie, where the biggest costs are normally are in hospitalization and some of the tests that we do sometimes that are fairly high tech and pretty monetary expensive. Normally, the primary care, of course, the primary care guys are the lowest paid of the docs. And anything I say there is going to sound self-serving, but you might want to just shop around if you're getting charged $180 for 5 minutes. I mean, that sounds like highway robbery to me.
That's a great point. Hey, we are going to take a little station break here. This is KCNR 1460 AM Radio, the home of Free Fire Media.
Steve, this is Linda Bott. Carl's on assignment. And sitting in with me this morning is none other than Mr. Jeff Avery, who's been doing a fabulous job. And he has brought in a cast, a crew that you cannot believe. We are having some great calls. And the chat room is on fire. But let's go to the phones right now. Jay, you are live on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you all today?
We're doing great, Jay. How about yourself? What questions do you have for us today?
I didn't hear what you said after the last thing.
I'm sorry. What question did you have for us today?
Well, actually, oh no, I was leaping to the doctor's defense about what the man was saying about doctors being paid too much, because it's obvious to me that the overhead is so high that you guys have to charge a certain amount just to pay for your loans and your liability insurances and everything else.
You know, Jay, that is awesome that you come to Dr. Malachi's defense. Not only is he a great physician, but he has so few friends that will normally do that for him.
True story.
Well, I mean, I'm a cab driver, right? And so people look at the price and go, oh, that's so much. Yeah, but I'm paying for the gas. I've got to give half to the company. After you're done with overhead, you're not making that much money. And, hey, I can drive you from place to place. I can't carve open your chest and make you live longer, okay? He can. So give the man the money.
There we go. All within reason. You know, they did talk about the access to primary care physicians and even beyond, and it's fantastic that not only do we have one here in the form of Dr. Richard Malachi, but we have, again, the president of Mercy Healthcare Center, here in Reading, Mark Korth, and his counterpart, CEO Randall Hempling from SRMC. Mark, having sat on your board, I know that you talk all the time about the difficulty in bringing physicians up to this area, not only for family practice, but for the specialties. Why don't you talk a little bit about the challenges that presents for you?
Absolutely. It's interesting to look back at the history of reform and what's been going on with healthcare, and the one consistent that has been occurring is providers, physicians have been being held flat or actually being reduced in the amount of payment that they're receiving. So I'm backing up Richard as well. It has not been an easy road for physicians and providers in the North State Service Area. You look around, if you're paying attention to the community and if you're paying attention to specialists and primary care physicians, you'll find that we're having fewer doctors in the North State right now than we did 5-10 years ago. And that's a concern. And it's something certainly from the Mercy side that we're moving on. We've approached and we've gone down a strategic path now to where we will initiate employing some physicians. And this is a strategy to really allow us to recruit physicians in. We have recruits coming in a number of specialties, a number of primary care recruits. And when we talk to them, they're saying there's so much risk. There's so much overhead. I have so much debt from school. Unless if you employ me and provide me more of a sure thing, I can't come to the North State. And they're going to other locations. 5 years ago, a third of the doctors in practice were employed. Now that's greater than 50%. So trends nationwide are for physicians to be moving towards employed models.
You know, and you talk about the debt coming out. I mean, you look at 4 years undergrad, right? $100,000 to $150,000. We're not talking Stanford here. We're talking Chico State, Sac State, UC Davis, Oregon State University, and then the 4 years of med school. And then you finally get to start making some money to come out as a residency. And Dr. Malachi, are they making minimum wage even as a resident for the time they're putting in?
Well, I think there's a new rule this year. My son's going to be starting his residency in July, and I guess they're going to get paid more than minimum wage this year because they're going to only require you to work 80 hours a week.
Oh, great. So it's only twice the normal time. But what the typical doctor, I know it varies by specialty and everything else, what kind of debt load are they coming out before they're starting to earn that first paycheck?
Well, a lot of time it's between $160,000 and $300,000. It depends on if you go to a private medical school. Those are pretty expensive.
Jeff, we just are trying to recruit a surgeon to town. I talked to him last week. His debt load coming in was
$250,000. Wow. Randall, why don't you also talk about, Mark touched upon this, but the model that you are working under, independent contractor coming in to work in the hospital, versus having them in an employee relationship. Is there anything in California that's restricting you having some flexibility in that regard?
Yeah, Mark mentioned that they have a strategic model there, and it's called a foundation model, which allows them to move beyond what's called the corporate of practice medicine law in the state. California is one of five states that does not allow physicians to be employed by anyone other than another physician. And that really hurts the rural areas more than any other place. We have all these critical access hospitals around here that must have coverage. And you can imagine a young physician coming out with $300,000 worth of debt and setting up practice, let's just say, in Fall River Mills, and trying to cover that debt on a primary care practice. It is impossible to do it. So that is an encumbrance. And, of course, and it's problematic in that we have the hospital association would like to be able to employ, particularly in rural areas, some physicians. But the California Medical Association opposes that. So it's kind of there's an interesting dichotomy that all these young physicians are coming out wanting to be employed, and yet the association is saying no to that model, which takes a lot of these people and forces them to go out of state.
You know, and we talk about the debt coming out of college for physicians, and, you know, there's going to be some changes that are coming along the way. Of course, even now there's some flexibility. You know, my predecessor is a co-host on this, you know, Colonel Bott, military. A lot of doctors will consider going to the military, serving their stint, their time, so that they don't have that debt load. So there are some options out there. Is that correct, Dr. Malachi?
Yes, the military actually is a real good way to pay for school. And you can get through undergraduate and your medical degree, you can have all those expenses covered.
Well, we're going to take a break, Jeff, and when we come back, it's interesting because I think that the rule of thumb, and I'll check on this, is that if you go through medical school, through the military, then you have to serve back. So for instance, you say you go through the Marine Corps, the Naval way of going to get your degree, then you owe that exact amount of time back serving.
Yes, I think when it's year for year.
Year
and,
for year.
For Marines, of course, it's Navy because Marines don't have a medical degree, but that's
we may be getting a call here in a few seconds. We're going to take a break.
Year for year.
Right, we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Back to KCNR 1460. Hey, we've really touched on a nerve here, and we've got a couple callers on the line. Line one, Anita, how are you doing?
Yes, my doctor dropped me because I'm on Medicare. Do you have a list of family doctors that will take patients that are on Medicare that I could try to get hooked up with?
You know, Anita, I don't personally know of any resources, and we're getting everybody kind of shaking their head. There are some nonprofit organizations here in town. Golden Umbrella will probably have a good list. Shasta County Ombudsman. Check with some of the local nonprofits, and maybe they can help you out. It's
the
a
community,
good question.
The Community Health Center, which is an excellent operation, has thousands of clients, and they work on a sliding scale, and they will take Medicare and Medi-Cal.
Is Dr. Malachi a family physician?
Yes, he is.
Does he take Medicare patients?
You know, I don't take Medicare patients.
Wow.
And it's a long
See, that's
story.
That's the problem I'm having.
Yeah. Well,
I
it's
have
a,
Medicare and supplemental. I have two insurances.
Right. But all the reimbursement schemes for primary care particularly are based on a Medicare reimbursement system. So basically the way Medicare has tried to make the math work is they've decided, well, gee, if we can just get these doctors to work a little faster, you know, we'll pay them a lot less, but they'll be guaranteed to see twice as many people because, and then the math works out fine. And the problem with that, that these guys don't really understand is that how we make our decisions and diagnoses is really based on history. You can teach a monkey to do a physical exam, but the history, asking the questions and finding out, I usually know what's wrong with somebody after I just sit and talk to them for a while before I put the stethoscope on them. And that takes time, and you just can't see 40 people a day, and I'm not smart enough to get that done.
Well, that's great. Hey, and Anita, thank you for your question. Line two, we have Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. What question do you have for us this morning?
Is the California Medical Association the stumbling block for having hospitalists employed?
No, not really. I mean, we have both hospitals have hospitalists that work in the hospitals. We do that via contract service. We contract with a group of physicians that then provide that service to us. It's just it's a roundabout to getting the service done without having to directly employ physicians.
Who employs the hospitalist if not the hospitals? And I thought you said you couldn't do that.
Well, we do employ a group of hospitalists. So we do not employ individuals, but we will contract with a company that is made up of physicians.
Yeah, another way I'd say it is we work with hospitalists in a group. They are all actually working in partnership together. We then contract as a hospital with that hospitalist group. So it's a contract relationship, not an employee relationship.
Hey, gentlemen, we have 2 minutes. Mark, 30 seconds. What are some parting comments about what's been going on?
Well, I think the discussion's been great. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. The thing I want to remind everybody is healthcare does need to change. We do need to become more efficient. And the things we're going to be working on at Mercy, we're making sure we're being proactive and positioning to be able to do it right when the changes occur and as they occur. We're working on connectivity. We're working on making sure that we're integrating with our physician providers. And you'll see us out there in the community working with the patients to try to make sure that they're part of the solution and to make sure that the community is working on their health with us. Keeping people healthy is really the best way to keep our costs down.
Loving that collaboration. Dr. Malachi, your parting comments.
Well, I'm sure all about trying to keep people healthy. Most of the time, you know, your body's your own best doctor. So if you take care of the motor and change the oil, you're going to do better off and spend less time in an office like mine.
Yeah.
I just think that's really key. Your costs will always be lower if you don't need me.
Right, and that's about taking care of ourselves as well as taking care of all the collaboration in the community. Randall Hempley from SRMC, how about yourself?
Again, thank you for having us, and it's been a great discussion. One of the key things going forward is people must understand that standing still in healthcare or keeping it the way it is because we think it works is not the answer. We will spiral downward and bankrupt the country if we don't make the changes. So change is inevitable. We're going to have to go with it. It's going to take a lot of tweaking, but it is important. It's going to be a big part of our community.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being here this morning on Free Fire Radio. And Jeff Avery, you have been the best co-host. Thank you so much. Next week, we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness. All week long, we'll have the experts be thinking about your questions here. And, Jeff, how about your closing thoughts today?
Folks, I think we established that there's really no quick and easy method, but the one thing you can change, you can change yourself. There's a healthier you lifestyle challenge going on. Mercy Medical Center has a stop smoking clinic. Dr. Malachi and his folks are there for you. Thank you very much for having us today.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. Goodbye.